Merry Christmas, friends. Welcome to the By His Grace podcast. I am your host, Misty Phillip, and I am so glad that you are here with me this week. I am super excited because it's my birthday week. And last week, I shared that all I wanted for my birthday was 50 new podcast reviews, one for each year of my life. And I just want to give a shout out to everyone who has already left me a review. Y'all are amazing. And I was just going to say, if you haven't had a chance to leave a review, I would appreciate you finding some time between now and the end of this year to leave me a review. Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year, but for many, it can also be the most difficult time of the year. Especially in a year like 2020, we have been hit with so much this year. I have some dear friends and family members struggling with difficult diagnoses and others who are struggling with anxiety and fear. And who would blame them after a year like this? But like Dr. Michelle Bankston said earlier this year on the podcast, that is not our portion. Anxiety and fear is not our portion. Because she knows the truth from Scripture that says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind. Dr. Jeff Myers from Summit Ministries wrote an article entitled, When Fear and Dread Rage. He says, fear is a strong emotion that surfaces when we become aware of potential danger. Dread is fear on steroids. An extreme uneasiness in the face of pain, uncertainty, and evil. Fear and dread are like armed robbers forcing us to empty our emotional bank accounts while staring down the barrel of impending doom. He goes on to say, the psalmist David wrote, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Psalm 56:3. God in the Bible doesn't tell us to run away from difficulty. He tells us to run toward it. Fear paralyzes, but we bless others. Galatians 3:6-9. Fear hoards, but we share. Ephesians 4:28. Fear curses bad fortune, but we gain wisdom to understand the times. 1 Chronicles 12:32. Fear resigns itself to fate, but we give the reason for our hope. 1 Peter 3:15. Friends, when you are afraid, turn your heart to Jesus. Take your thoughts captive and cast your cares on Him. Get into the Word and claim God's promises of victory over your life. Rejoice in Him with thanksgiving and praise. There's a song by Hillsong called Peace, and it has been at the top of my playlist all throughout 2020. And the words are such a comfort to me. I want to share a few lines of this song with you, but I promise you that I will not sing. You will stay true, even when the lies come. Your word remains truth, even when my thoughts don't line up. I will stand tall on each promise you made. Let the rest fade away. And then there's the chorus. There's a peace far beyond all understanding. May it ever set my heart at ease. Dare anxiety come, I'll remember that peace is a promise you keep. Peace is a promise you keep. Y'all, Jesus came to earth to lay down his life for us as the Prince of Peace so that we could have eternal life. But not just eternal life, he came that we would live an abundant life. And I know right now that many who may be listening to this podcast are struggling with fear. So I have asked my friend Chris Reese to come on the podcast today to share some words of faith to encourage you. I met Chris at the Spark Christian Podcast Conference in February of this year, which actually seems almost like a lifetime ago. But she is a constant source of encouragement to me. Chris is the host of Building Faith Podcast and the author of several books. Y'all, please welcome Chris Reese to By His Grace. Chris Reese, welcome to the By His Grace podcast. I am so glad that you are here with me, my friend.
I am so thrilled, Misty. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. I wanted to have you on to talk about overcoming and transforming our thoughts, especially in regards to fear. Recently, I've had conversations with a couple of different people who are fighting fear for different reasons. And so I would love for you to speak into that.
Oh, I would absolutely love to. You know, it's easy for us, especially when we're not going through fear, to quote scriptures like Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. But if we could just kind of hang out there for just a moment and really start to unpack that scripture just a little bit. Paul was talking to the church at Philippi, telling them to not be anxious for anything. And let's just substitute that word. When we are anxious, it's because we're fearful. Right? We don't get anxious for any other things that we're not afraid over. But here's what Paul said: in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. So when I start to dissect that scripture, there's so many areas that we can begin to falter. You know, first, let's admit it, when fear hits us, when fear grips us, is it the first reaction, the first response that we have to pray?
Or to praise?
A lot of times it's not.
Yeah, or to praise, you know, and that's what it says with thanksgiving, like we're to be grateful in when all of these trials come our way. But you're right, it's not our first response.
No. Usually prayer is not our first response, it's our last resort. And I'm not saying that there's some magic formula that now if you all of a sudden start making prayer your first response, that now everything's just going to start going your way. But here's where we start to miss. Make our requests known to God. But at the end of the day, are we truly searching for His will to be done? Are we truly searching for His sovereignty to prevail? And that's where fear usually begins to grip us. You know, it's interesting that you said we don't even resort to praise. Forget about prayer. We don't even go anywhere near praise. But one of the things that really struck me when I was going through a hard time a few years ago is I really learned what it meant to give a sacrifice of praise. Mm. Because in those moments when you're slapped with the health diagnosis, when you're not sure how the rent or the mortgage is going to get paid, when you're midlife and you're trying to figure out, now what, God? You know, I just lost my job. Now what? You know, anxiety, fear can begin to grip us. And the last thing that we think is, oh, okay, I'm just going to praise God. We associate praise with, yes, I'm thankful. I'm so exuberant. I'm so excited. But He told us to give a sacrifice of praise. So what does that mean? That means I don't want to. That means it's not, it doesn't feel like it's in me. So with every fiber of our being, we do want to begin to push through that, because fear at best distracts us from our relationship with God and our purpose in God. At its worst, it is literally going to rob you of everything until you're completely barren. Now, we want to be careful, because sometimes we have a tendency to shame ourselves or even to shame other people for feeling fear. You know, if fear wasn't a natural instinct, God would not have given us so many commands as to not to fear. What He's saying is, I know you're going to feel it. I know the fear is real, but, and that's where we got to hang out on, is we've got to hang out on the but.
Absolutely. You know, what I say all the time is it's okay. Feel all the feelings. Like, we have to feel the feelings. Just don't get stuck. Even question God. Like, why is this happening? Yeah. He's big enough to take all of those questions. We just can't get stuck there. And so have to feel the feelings and then move on. And I was just, as you were speaking, I just thought of the scripture that says, for us to not fear, but that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so I think that part of having a sound mind is taking those thoughts captive when they start to run away. Because we can, I know I can toss a thought around and around and around. So what would you say to that?
Well, you're absolutely right. What we don't realize is that fear doesn't begin in the circumstances. It begins in the mind. So, you know, how can one person have a paralyzing fear over the coronavirus while somebody else doesn't? How can one person be anxious over the state of our union while somebody else isn't? Now, you know, some people may call that ignorance. Others may call it faith. So we do want to begin to take our thoughts captive. I love the way you said, feel all the feelings. I have a 25-year-old daughter, and her favorite saying is, I'm feeling all the feels.
So, all the feels, yes, Mom, all the feels. Yeah.
I'm feeling all the feels. So, you know, we're supposed to feel these feelings, but you're right. We're not supposed to hang out in them. So God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us one of power, love, and a sound mind. That's my favorite, a sound mind. So when we're sitting there thinking, I can't think straight, I feel like I'm being overtaken, I feel like I'm so distracted, well, that's not from God. The spirit of fear is not from God. The spirit of a sound mind is from God. And what that shows me is I have a choice as to which one I'm going to focus on. So typically, when we begin to get struck with fear, or if there's any thoughts that are bouncing around in your head, I refer to them as the pinball machine. Remember when we were kids?
Yeah.
We used to have those pinball machines, and you could pull like 4, 5, 6 of them at any given time. Well, sometimes that's what our mind feels like. Literally feels like a pinball. Pinballs are just bouncing all over the place. So there's a few things that would be very helpful. The first thing is to focus inward. And that would go back to what my daughter says, feel all the feels. Recognize what's going on inside of you. But you also want to recognize, is this fear real? Meaning, there is a legitimate reason for this. You know, let's say you were just exposed to somebody that has the coronavirus. That's a legitimate fear. An illegitimate fear would be, I'm sitting in my house, I'm perfectly protected, but I'm now still giving in to the fear that I might get this. So there's a difference. So we really do want to focus on the actual feelings and then determine if there's something that I need to do about it. So let's not be overwhelmed with concern. Let's just take the coronavirus for where we are right now. But if there is a fear, that could be God saying, I want your level of concern elevated, meaning take extra precautions, wear your mask, don't invite people over, do what you need to do to protect yourself. If it's perceived, meaning that it's not necessarily real, but it's kind of going on in here, and how much time we know that perception is reality, you want to ask yourself, where'd this come from? Because a lot of times, old wounds and fears trigger current wounds and fears. And we really want to be able to focus inward and discern between all of those. So the next step I would recommend is to focus outward. So what needs to change? And what is in your power to change? So if we want to look outwards, let's take some of the movements. We have the Black Lives Matter movement. We have the election. What can we do to be the change? Let's focus outward, not just remain inward. At the very least, our fears should be fueling our prayers.
Absolutely.
And then the last thing I would recommend is to focus upward. Once we're done focusing inward, once we're done focusing outward, then we have to focus upward. When all that stuff is processed, God is asking, are you trusting me? Are you looking to me? Are you believing what I'm looking to do in this situation? I know it seems bleak. I know it seems like there is no hope, but, and that's where we want to hang out on, but.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I wrote the Bible study, the struggle is real, but so is God. And it's just so interesting that he gave me that study several years before 2020. And he knew, like, God knows everything. He is omnipotent. He's omnipresent. You know, he's everywhere at all times, things that are really difficult for our mind to grasp. But you mentioned his sovereignty. And so none of this takes him by surprise. Not the virus, not the election, not the social unrest. None of the things take him by surprise. And so I love your focusing inward, recognizing the problem, then doing what we can to do what he's called us to do, which That's is right. love him and to love other people and fill the needs where we can. But then we've got to trust him and say like Jesus did, Lord, not my will, but That's your right. will be done. And know that he is working all things together for good. That's what Romans 8:28 says. And even yes. the things that we don't feel like they're good, or it doesn't look good at the moment. Right. Yeah, we can trust him. And I think that's what this really is fear is a lack of trust and trusting God.
It is true. He does work things together for our good. I love the way you so poignantly said it. Not for us to feel good, not for it to be good, but it is for our good. And we only know in part. That's we right. don't know the end from the beginning like he does. And sometimes, and here's where I got to remind myself so often, sometimes it isn't about me.
That's right. You know, we think everything's about us.
Through may not even be about me.
That's right. That's right. Because some of the things we go through are so that we can then in turn minister to someone else further on down the line. Yeah. I love that. We think everything is about us. And I think especially in America, in our me-centered culture, I mean, it's easy to think it's about us when it's not all about us. And so that's a really good point. You know, you talk a lot about intentional living as well. And you have a book that you wrote, Make It Matter, A Roadmap to Life on Purpose. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So I was stuck for so long. You know, on the outside, Misty, you would have thought I had it all together. I mean, I had a successful business, big house, fancy cars, more vacations than I knew what to do with. But there was just this ache in my soul. In fact, I would wake up every morning with this burning question on my mind. Is this all there is? And then I would fight those feelings of discontent and I'd apologize to God. I'd put my big girl pants on and I'd just hit the grind. But every day that feeling, that question just kept coming back until I recognized that none of that stuff mattered. None of what I was searching for, none of what I had mattered. What I truly wanted was to live a life of purpose. Yeah. And that's what prompted me to write the book. So it is a spiritual and practical guide for finding and fulfilling your God-given purpose. And in it, I actually walk you through three phases. Discovery, we're going to discover what God's called you to do, to develop the gifts that God has given you, and design a plan that's going to take you from concept to completion. So I had a blast writing that, and hopefully it's helped quite a few people to be able to discover their calling in Christ.
Yeah. You know, that's, I love that you said that. That's how I discovered my purpose in the Spark Conference. You know, I went to the Lord and I prayed, where does my gifting and my calling line up in this season? Because I right. believe that he has different things for us to do in different seasons. But we need to ask him, you know, what you've made me on purpose for a purpose. Right. And when we pray and we ask ask him that and he tells us and we step into it, we might be afraid. We may not have all the answers, but when we are living in our purpose, that is what we're made for.
That's right.
Yeah. I love that. I love
how you said something. We might be afraid and we may not have all the answers. We will be afraid and we will not have all the answers.
But yeah, that's where we leave room for God, right? Because
that's
in
right.
our weakness, that is when he is strong and that's when he can do what only he can do.
Amen.
So what are some practical ways that if someone, you know, is like, I'm struggling with fear in this season of Corona. I don't know what to do next. I don't know what God is calling me to. You know, we may be in a situation where we're locked down again. So I know that there's a lot of fear there, but also like, how can I live out my purpose in the middle of a global pandemic?
That's an excellent question. And the first step that you're going to need to take, and believe it or not, this is the perfect time to do it, is to discover you. You see, God created you with intentionality. Like Misty said, he created you on purpose for purpose, but we want to discover how he's wired us. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What's your temperament? What makes you tick? And what we're looking to do is kind of step away from the needs and the expectations of others, even the expectations of ourselves. And when I say step away, I don't mean like leave your home. I just mean like mentally disconnect. What if my mother wasn't so overbearing? What if I was able to do whatever it is that I wanted to do? What would it be? So you want to step away mentally. And this is a perfect time to do it. Where right now we're kind of on lockdown. It's just us and the internet. Start researching. Because when you begin to discover who you are, then you can begin to embrace who you are in Christ. And the more you discover you, the more you discover him. And when you put those two together, the Holy Spirit begins to communicate to you in such a powerful way. You see, he's already speaking to you on what he wants you to do. The problem is we've got to clear away all the noise.
Yeah.
So when we begin to discover who you are, then it'll start to get a little bit more clear.
Yeah, that's so good. And you're right. I look at this time as difficult as the year 2020 has been in so many ways. It has also been a gift of time that the Lord sort of put the world on pause and he's calling us. He's calling and his voice is a still small voice. And so we have to turn off the noise. We have to get away. If Jesus had to go off in the middle of the night, go into the wilderness to pray, how much more do we need to do that today?
So true.
Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today on fighting fear and living intentionally, Chris. Where can people find out more about the work that you're doing? Because you just recently planted a church, and talking about purpose in the middle of a pandemic, you started an online church. So I'd love for you to tell people a little bit about that and then where they can find you.
Terrific. Thank you. So the church is called Life Church, LYFE, Live Your Faith Every Day. And it is my heart to see God's people healed physically, spiritually, and emotionally. So you can go to chrisreese.com. That's Chris with a K, Reese with a C. That'll give you all the information about Life Church, my podcast that's there, just more information to equip you to apply God's word to your everyday life.
Yeah, I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, friend, and God bless you in all your future endeavors.
Thank you, Misty. You too. It's been a blast.
Thank you for joining me today on By His Grace. I hope you've enjoyed listening and are encouraged by our guest today. I would love for you to visit my blog, mistyphillip.com, for more encouragement. You can find me on social media as Misty Phillip, and I would love to connect with you there.